Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our first reading today is a reading from Daniel. At that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish, such as never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Word of God, word of life. We shall read Psalm 16 responsively. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all other. But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. My heart therefore is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope. You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is a fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Our second reading is a reading from Hebrews. Every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ has offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then he has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful, and let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Word of God, word of life.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of the disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "You see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew came and asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, I am he, and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and of rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. That must take place. But the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of birth pangs. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Well, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator and Sustainer, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from the Holy Spirit that abides in each of us. Amen. I am Dave Wetter. I am the Bishop's Associate here in the Central State Synod. And I bring you greetings from our Bishop, Susan Candia, and from your siblings around this entire Synod, both Missouri and Kansas, this morning. It is truly a joy to be here, to celebrate with you, and to celebrate the installation of Pastor Alfie, someone I have known since they were very young. They were in Sunday school classes with me and confirmation classes. And although they don't remember this, I'm going to share it anyway, Alfie. There was a time, I believe, my wife, who was here, was filling in for me. And in their Sunday school class, I think they were in confirmation age, they asked about what they thought God was calling them to do in the future. And Alfie doesn't remember this, but they said, I think I'm going to be a pastor. The Lord was working on you all the way back then. So this is a great day. You know, for me, whenever I read a text and prepare to preach on it, it's really, really important to kind of get the context of where this story is taking place and what's been taking place around it. And here in our faith tradition, we use the lectionary, which is great. I love it because it allows us to get the full breadth of all of the scriptures throughout a course of about 3 years as we read through them each week. But the downside of it is periodically we don't get the whole story. We just kind of jump often in the middle of a story. And today I think it's important to realize what has been happening here. In fact, in other years, we would have gotten the story right before this last week, but just the way the calendar goes, we didn't get it this year. But right before where we started today, Jesus and his followers, the disciples, had been inside the temple. And they were doing what I call, they were just doing people watching. They went in the temple and they were sitting up out of the way and they were watching as people brought their offerings to the temple. Kind of an odd thing to do. But that's what they were doing on that particular day. And as the people came, and we're told in the story, people came, they were very wealthy and a lot of pomp and circumstance, and they were presenting huge amounts of offering to the temple. And then as they were watching, this one woman, old woman, came, very frail, and she came and she offered 2 coins. And that's who Jesus chose to comment on. And he said, today, and you're watching, this woman has given more than all of the others together. 2 coins. Jesus was attempting to teach his disciples to live by this theology of abundance, that we're called to live in, a theology in which we realize that God has gifted us so much and that we ought to be willing to share that with others, not just our monetary gifts, but ourselves, our time. Others. It is a theology, this theology of abundance is what Walter Brueggemann, an Old Testament theologian, defines as you always have enough, so it's always easy to give some away theology. That's our theology. We always have enough. We will. So let's always give some away, and we'll do it with joy. So that's what had happened just before our story today. And then our story today starts with they were walking out of the city. They were leaving the temple area and leaving the city. And as they were leaving the city, one of the disciples says to Jesus, look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings. Kind of an odd thing to say. But really, in following the story, it makes sense. In some sense, I think the disciple was saying, I got what you were telling me. I get it. We have an abundance right here in Jerusalem. We have this incredible temple. It's so large and massive. And this beautiful, large city. Surely we will always have this in abundance. Surely the people of Israel will always have this place
little moment of I'm getting it. But Jesus does what Jesus does best in those kind of moments. He bursts their bubble, didn't he? Jesus, this disciple says it, and then Jesus looks right, without stopping, without skipping a beat, says, you see these buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. Talk about bursting a bubble. Talk about kind of just bringing a downer to the moment. It's all going to be gone, Jesus says. It's kind of a moment in which I'm sure those disciples said, well, what the heck? What do you mean? And they kept walking. And we're told they walk across to the Mount of Olives. So that means they left the city. They went outside the walls of the city. And they went through this deep valley. And then they went up onto the Mount of Olives. And when they got over onto the Mount of Olives, they sat down and looked back over the city. And that's where the disciples come to him and say, teacher, we need to, what are you talking about? And when, by the way, will all this happen? They wanted details, right? That's what we're good at in our world today, right? We want details. When, where, how, what's going to happen? Need to know it now. But Jesus didn't give him that. Jesus again begins to speak in this cryptic kind of language. He begins to tell them that lots of things are going to happen between now and then, between that time. Wars will occur. Kingdoms will fall. Fighting will be had. Communities will suffer. People will die. Illness, famine, earthquakes, fires, you name it, it's going to happen. But don't worry. Those are only birth pangs, Jesus says. Wow. Again, if his intention was to give a pep talk to his followers, I'm not sure he succeeded. But he did offer hope. He did. Just in those last few words I read, this is but the beginning of birth pangs. That's the good news of this story, believe it or not. Yes, awful things will happen. Yes, just as you are on this journey, things will come to an end. Things will change. Things will get hard and difficult. But salvation is promised. Know that. No matter what happens, salvation is coming, and it is yours. As I read this story and I read about what Jesus said was going to happen, I have to wonder, was he talking about then, or was he talking about now? Think about it. Wars? Kingdom against kingdom? Nation against nation? Communities against communities? Political upheaval? The answer is, was he talking then or now? Is yes, he was. He is. These are things that are happening. But in the midst of all of these things happening in this world right now, the good news is this. God is here and present now. And in the midst of this, whether we want it or not, God's kingdom is being brought forth. And the good news is we are called to be part of that. We are those that are called to help bring about that good news, the kingdom of God in this time, in this place. We are in the birth pangs of God's kingdom being birthed. Now, I don't want to belittle birth pangs. If you look at me, you probably are pretty sure I've never given birth to a child. But I have been present for the birth of three of them. My wife is here so she can verify that. And what I experienced in all of those initially was horror that my wife had to go through such pain. It was hard. It was difficult. And I was convinced when our oldest child, our son, was born, I was convinced in that moment, I can remember thinking to myself after I was so filled with joy to see our child. In those days, you didn't know what it was yet. It came out. And then I remember thinking to myself, this is the only child we're ever having. Because I am sure she's not doing this again. And true story, a few minutes later, as they handed our son to her, And she was filled with tears and joy. So we're going to have another one. Wow. That symbolizes exactly what Jesus is talking about. The birth of God's kingdom is going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. And we are in the midst of this birth of this incredible kingdom. A kingdom where there will be no war, there will be no famine, there will be no natural disasters. But in the birth of that kingdom, there will be difficulties. But it is such good thing that is being birthed that when we get there, we will say it was worth it. That's the good news. That's the good news today. Now, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, because I've learned over the many years of preaching that a lot of times people leave and they say, well, Pastor said. Please don't leave here and say, well, Bishop's Associate of the Central State Synod said that God's causing all this to bring about the kingdom. God's not. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is this. In the midst of the reality of this world being caused by whatever, other people, the way we live, the way we respond, God is still at work. And God is challenging us to go against the norms of this world to bring about God's kingdom. God is challenging us in this story today and throughout Scripture that when we see violence, don't respond with violence, but respond with peace. When we see communities being abused or taken advantage of or chastised and kicked out of what we consider the norm, God says, be on the margins with them and bring them into the center of this community. What I am saying is, in the midst of the hatred and the violence that is happening in this world, our call as Christians is to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ and respond with love, forgiveness, and grace. And that can be hard. And that can be difficult. But our Lord and Savior says it's worth it. Because the outcome will be a kingdom in which none of this will be present. Jesus offers us a hope today, a promise. In many ways, he did give a great pep talk. Salvation is ours. God's kingdom is promised, and it will be here. That preferred future that God's calling us into is not the future many of us have envisioned for ourselves. I travel all around the Synod and meet with congregations in transition, and I oftentimes hear, well, when I ask, well, what's the vision that you have for this congregation? I hear a lot of, well, I think, we think, and those are all good stuff. We can't wait to get more youth here, or we want a bigger choir, or we want more people to come together here, and that's all good stuff, and I think God would love all that. But the real question is, what does God want for you? What's God calling you to be here in this place as a faith community? Not just as individuals, but as a faith community. You're now entering into a new time here. Pastor David and now Pastor Alfie, who are guiding you and leading you in ways and will in new ways. And they're going to stretch and pull you into this preferred future along with God. And I hope you walk with them and journey with them. There will be times when you don't understand, and that's okay. But let's listen together. And maybe in those two-way conversations, when we come together with these difficult challenges, whatever they are, we'll come to see truth in the midst of all of that. Jesus is offering us that hope today. That hope that we live in the now and the not yet. And we don't know what that not yet is. And when we don't know what things are, we often get scared. We often try to head the other direction. But you can't head the other direction. You can't hide. God is with you. And all we are asked to do is to listen and to walk and to respond as Jesus would respond for a better future. So today, in the midst of all of those things that are going on in our lives and in this world, the times when we want to look around and say, what's happening? This is awful. It is. The upheaval that is going on in this world today is awful. The hatred that we see and we hear is awful. The way we are treating each other often is awful. But we can change that. We have all we need. We have been gifted with an abundant life. Not just with our money, but with our own beings and the gifts God has given us. And we can respond to this world differently. We can respond with love. we can respond with kindness. We can respond with open arms and welcoming presence to say, all truly are welcome, not just here in this place, but wherever I am. Right? We can be the hands and feet of Christ, not just in this building, but out in the world as we leave this building today. Dear church, our strength is not in our ways. Our strength is not in the ways of this world. Our strength is not in this building. It's not in just in this one little place. Our strength lies in the ultimate temple, the temple that could not be torn down and after 3 days rose again. Our strength lies in Jesus Christ. And so my prayer today is that in the midst of all of this in this world, that we never forget that our strength lies in the one who came into this world and lived and walked with us, suffered with us, and died for us so that we might know eternal life, presence of God always. This good news today that he proclaims is that our hope and our promise of a better future is assured. It's been promised, and it is ours. May we never forget that. And may we be a faith community, may we be a people that leaves this place today and always attempts to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.